We are located at 2840 Hollywood Avenue. We live in victory every day, believing in God. If you're interested in joining us in worship, we worship every Sunday at 10:30, Bible study Tuesday at 6:30, and Wednesday at noon. We have a mentoring program if you're interested in mentoring young people at Warner Park Elementary School on Thursdays at 12:30. Here at Hollywood, we believe that the loving is oh so good, so we're reaching out to the Shreveport community and the overall Louisiana community with a message of love, a message of hope, a message of encouragement. Listen now to a recent broadcast by Hollywood Presbyterian Church and Live Big Ministries, where Harry Cooper is pastor.
For as long as the Spirit gives utterance today, we want to preach from the topic higher living. Higher living. A scripture that we want to just highlight is from what we just read from Romans, the 7th chapter. And we'll begin with verse number 21. You may remain seated. Romans 7:21 says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We want to deal with the topic higher living. Now, let me ask this question. Is there anybody here who is absolutely positively satisfied that you have gotten all out of your life that you could possibly get out of your life? You have made, you've not missed any exits when you should have exited. You've never stayed on the road too long. You've done everything that you feel that God desired for you to be able to do. Anybody who's absolutely maxed out your capabilities? Anybody in the not yet category? If you're not yet, you can raise your hand. It's okay. All right. So what I am seeing and recognizing, even in the group of believers that we are operating with right now, in this space and in this place, everybody here recognizes that you may not have maximized everything that you could have maximized. Everyone in the room acknowledges that there is something more that you can be. There is another level that you might be able to reach, whether it is psychically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, in your relationships, in your interpersonal relationship with yourself. There is something else. Is that all right? There's another level. So the question is, how do we reach that next level? Now, the story is told of Isaac Newton, and not Sir Isaac, but Isaac Newton, the writer of one very famous hymn. And the famous hymn that he wrote is Amazing Grace. And he wrote that song. And he writes a song and says, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Now, I've heard that song and sung that song all of my life that I can remember. It is a song that I have loved to hear and loved to identify with. And oh my goodness, when Aretha Franklin sings that song, and when she recorded that, I think in 1972, it may be the best recorded version of that song ever, ever, ever. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And yet when I talked and thought, started thinking about the song and let it start dealing with me in my understanding, suddenly I began to despair just a little bit. Here's a man, Isaac Newton, who was a slave trader. He owned and was responsible for transporting slaves in the transatlantic slave partnership. And in doing so, he writes this song at one point in time when the sea becomes very choppy. He's not sure that the boat is going to be able to make it. So he is captaining a slave ship across the Atlantic carrying human cargo, humans that he considers to be cargo, human beings that he has decided they are no longer human beings, but are property to be owned by somebody else. This man writes that song. When I began to just wrestle with it a little bit, I began to understand that when he writes of words, he says, "What a wretched man that I am, that saved a wretch like me." It just started challenging me, because sometimes we get caught and lost in words, and words have power. So every time we sing the song, we get connected to the sense that a wretch like me. He does not say a wretch like I was, but a wretch like me. Now we have to be careful with the language that we use to describe ourselves, especially when you have been the end recipient of a deluge of negativity. When you think about being chocolate and kissed by the sun, even if you were to read Webster's dictionary and look for every reference of the word black, there is only one positive reference of the word black outside of being simply a color in the dictionary. And that's considered being in the black if you were an accountant. But even that has copious beginnings, because being in the black as an accountant has its root in the slave trade, which meant if you were in the black, it meant you owned slaves. So then we begin to understand, when you have been brutalized by a language that has consistently told you, if you're black, get, if you're brown, if you're yellow, and if you're white, you're all right. I didn't have to coach you to say that. These are things and words that have been consistent in our culture, and they have been consistently reaffirmed every time you turn on the television, every time you read the newspaper, every time now you begin to see certain acts and actions being performed by those in leadership in this nation, you begin to realize, maybe this ain't all that it was said it was supposed to be. Last week we celebrated, quote unquote, Independence Day, but that wasn't independent for us. Not if you're black. It was another 89 years before slavery was declared to be over in 1865. And it wasn't another 2 years until the word got to Texas that slavery had actually ended. So we're talking about a system that has been consistent. And then even in the 13th Amendment, now I'm not just giving a history lesson, because what I'm working on is helping us to understand the power of words and how systematically the words have been used to take away from us the power of who we are. So we need to be careful when we start repeating things about what it is speaking down into our consciousness. And so really the sense is, we are more than wretched. So if you take nothing away from you, away from this whole moment, take away with you that you are not just wretched. You're not. That there was so much of power of the divine in you that God decided that I am going to share my love with you, and I don't want us to be apart. God sees us as we can be, not as we have been. That was good news. If somebody has been going through your own mental challenges and the mental challenges, you oftentimes speak negatively about yourself. You go and say things like, I wish I was. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. I wish I was taller. I wish I was smaller. I wish I was smarter. I wish I was whatever. I don't know. Wish I was lighter. I wish I was darker. I wish I was just, I wish I knew what to say when I was with other people. I wish I didn't stutter every now and then. I wish, am I talking? Are we connecting?
Yeah, all right.
In a very real way, there's been so many things in our society that has spoken to us in a way that was meant to bring us down and to keep us down and to cause us to never believe that higher living was possible. So we began to downsize our destiny based on the words that other people said to us. But today, the word is, let's move on to higher living. That there is a higher living. What I was referencing in the 13th Amendment was the 13th Amendment spoke to the freeing of slaves unless. There is a qualifier clause in that. And that qualifier is unless you are incarcerated. So now you think about, we live in the nation that's land of the free, home of the brave, that incarcerates more people than any country in the world. But this is freedom. And then when you begin to look at the population of those who are populating these jails, the disproportionate amount of prisoners who are black and brown. So then you start going through your mind, as Ava DuVernay would say, and you start saying to yourself, oh, what happened here? The moment slavery was over on the books, they started writing vagrancy laws. So now here you take a group of people who yesterday were enslaved, and now you tell them they are free, but you don't give them 40 acres and a mule. You don't give them any land. You don't give them any money. You don't give them anything but an opportunity to leave. Then they leave, but they don't have no place to stay. So they sleep on the street. And when you see them sleep on the street, now you got a vagrancy law, which now says you get arrested. And this is the trickeration that this nation has been using and utilizing to brutalize people. So when this is what you see, and then you look at the news and you begin to look at the television shows and the ways African Americans are portrayed on television. There's studies, so I'm not just talking off the top of my head. Studies that will share with you, when a white person commits a crime, they simply say, crime was committed. When a black person commits a crime, they say an African-American male is in custody. Four. So then, when a white person sees African-American male, her first thought is, uh-oh, let me grab my purse just a little bit tighter. Now, you don't know who this African-American male is. He could be Barack Obama, but he's an African-American male. So your instinct is to be afraid of the African-American male. If you want to understand vitriol, start looking through Twitter feeds. And begin to understand, when you read through Twitter feeds, that there are people out there who absolutely positively believe stuff that is incomprehensible. Yep. You're reading them, and you see the hate that they have. Barack Obama, or not Obama, Obummer, and all kinds, he's a Muslim. This man, wasn't even born in the United States. His father was a Kenyan. His father was a deadbeat daddy. I mean, they're still talking about this week. They haven't let it go because the image of the African-American male was a threat to anybody and everybody, and therefore 45 is able to ride on the coattails of those who have consistently feared what happens when an African-American male does anything. Now, see, this is not about black and white, because as I get back to the text, it's about helping us to understand. When we start using words about ourselves, it is important to be us to use higher words so we can have some higher living. So we can talk about who we were. Anybody can talk about that. Or we can talk about who we can be. Now, who you focus on is going to be the thing. Whatever beast you feed is the beast that grows. So if you continue to feed on who you were, then that's the thing that's going to continue to grow. If you continue to feed on the bad things that might have happened to you, or even the bad things that you might have done, you've done some stuff. Don't nobody, oh my goodness, Ms. Harrison would hate that. There's no one in this room. There is no one in this room who is able to say, you know what, I have totally escaped doing anything wrong. I'm just totally right. If that's where you are, you just messed up, because that's called pride. So I mean, even if that's who you are, please sit still, be quiet, and don't let nobody know, because if you got to tell it, it ain't necessarily true. The Bible says they were called Christians. They didn't walk around calling themselves Christians. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Being a Christian, you really want to be a believer? Don't tell anybody with your mouth. You don't have to walk around talking about, hi, I'm Harry and I'm Holy Ghost filled. Praise the Lord. Praise God. This just good to see you, fella. I mean, wonderful. I am filled with the Holy Ghost, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and woo! And folk, you'd be like, yeah, okay, good. But when was the last time you loved somebody? When was the last time you sacrificed some time to help somebody else? When was the last time you were able to care about somebody other than you? My goodness. And this is, Lord have mercy. I do not understand my sisters and brothers who call themselves Christian in the white conservative Christian movement. I cannot. I have had difficulty, and I realize this may go out on Facebook. I don't care. I don't understand how they reconcile some of the things they reconcile in their mind and in their spirit. How they could possibly say, well, this is right and this is wrong. So it's wrong to do an abortion. I'm not going to say it's right. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying, they care about the baby before it's born. But once the baby gets here, they don't want to have social services to help. They don't want to have wraparound services to help. They want to cut the Medicare. They want to cut the Medicaid. They don't want them to have health care. So now I care about you before you get here. But once you get here, oh, well. Or I am going to give myself to believing in scripture and believing in the love of God and all of these things, but you cross me and I hate you. And for me, the biggest disconnect in my mind is how you believe the Bible that says, thou shalt not kill, and support the death penalty. Can't get it? Don't work with me. I wish it could. I try. I've read the thought philosophies and all that kind of stuff, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's Old Testament context of which Jesus said that's no longer operational. I did not come to destroy the law. I'm not destroying that, but I come to fulfill the law. And the fulfillment of the law is that that which was doesn't have to be forever. And I have come to elevate you, not to desecrate you. So who does God say we are? See, what the text that we read is Paul. And Paul, if you took that out of context, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, the good that I want to do, that's the thing I don't do. And the bad thing that I want to do, the bad things I don't want to do, that's the very thing I'll do. It is as if Paul was listening to a song that said, I'm naughty by nature. Can't help myself. I want to do good, but I can't do it because I got this sin thing living in me. But then that same Paul also says, if any man be in Christ, if any person be in Christ, they are a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you say, you can no longer say it, you no longer have to say, I'm wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched woman that I am. No, you're not just wretched. You are blessed because God did not see your wretchedness. God saw your blessedness. Oh, my goodness. Somebody said, God saw your potential. God sees your possibility. God sees what you can be. And God says you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. God says, elevate your mind. Be ye no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind, by your renewing of your mind. Stop the stinking thinking and start living higher. So now, when you start singing the song, even Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, maybe we might want to skip that first verse every now and then. What's the fourth verse? Well, I do really like that fourth verse. When we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining like the sun, we've no less days to praise thy name than when we first begun. Now that'll make you shout there. If I live to be 10,000, then I still will not run out of reasons to thank God for the awesomeness of God. So right now the question is, who are you? How are you going to think? How are you going to reach that higher level, the higher level? Because when you reach the next level, I assure you, unfortunately, there will be another devil. For every level, there is a devil. There's going to be some pushback. You're going to get some clap back. You're going to get there, and by the time you get there, somebody who used to know you when you were is going to start trying to remind you of who you used to be. You're going to have the confidence in who you are to let them know that, oh, yeah, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was, but now I am. So you begin to speak about who you are and not who you have been. Are you with me? Is this making sense to anybody? This is what we're talking about, living in victory every day. Living in victory every day, believing in God, is absolutely positively believing in God, not doing a drive-by with your belief. A lot of us have this cursory understanding of belief, which means we drive by a little bit. I believe a little bit, but see, I'm a hold a little stuff to myself. I'm going to keep it because, just in case God don't come through. Just in case God doesn't come through. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everything that dwells therein. We need to have the confidence in our faith to be able to understand that being a believer is not being safe and secure inside these four walls. Being a believer means being willing to go where you've never gone, to do what you've never done, because you can never go where God is not. You can never do what God is incapable of helping you to do. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. It is you can have that strength, and Christ gets his strength from God. Therefore, it is God who ultimately is giving you the strength. So, higher living, getting to the next level in your life. You can do it, and you begin to speak it. I know you say, well, Pastor, you say this many weeks. I mean, this must be a core corner. Do you know anything else? I really don't. I wish I could tell you that I did. But I don't know another way to be right now when I deal with my people, and not my people, not just black people, white people, everybody. When I deal with people, being who I am, Seth, I got to encourage you to be who you can be. And the only way you can be who you can be is to release who you have been. You gotta move on. You gotta take some stuff and say, yeah, I used to do that, but I see something brighter ahead of me, and there's something better inside of me. So I'm no longer going to slum it. I'm going to reach out and become. I'm going to seek. I'm going to look to the hills from which cometh my help. I know my help comes from the Lord. I will not quit. I will not give up. And this is God's word for you today. You can live in victory every day, believing in God. This is the call upon your life to live how? Big. Live how? Big. Live how? Big. Live how? Big. Live in victory every day, believing in God.
We are victorious, we are victorious, nothing can conquer us, we are victorious.
We are victorious, we are victorious, nothing can conquer us, we are victorious.
Yeah.
Oh, we are victorious.
If you're victorious, put your hands together.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 K. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not